you want to be in tune. You know, the devil is so astute, so wise in trying to divide. Mm-hmm. Amen. When we come to church, it's hard to be unified because of all the stuff we're going through throughout the day. But tonight, we just want to have a mind to hear from God. Anybody just want to say, Lord, speak to me? Lord, speak to me. Heavenly Father, we bless your name tonight. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because you're good and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, as we stand before thee in thy presence, for in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and in thy right hand is the pleasure evermore. Lord, there are special needs out in the congregation tonight. Lord, there are some issues on hearts and minds. We ask you to send your word, hallelujah, to speak to those needs. Even now, Lord, even though the devil is trying to hinder and divide, Lord, we ask you to send a spirit of unity. Lord, because your word declares, blessed, hallelujah, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak tonight. Oh, God, even now, Lord, we ask you to send a special anointing. Lord, send a special spirit. Lord, send a spirit of healing. Lord, send a spirit of deliverance. Lord, we just say, move in this place. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you, while you're standing, remain standing for our scripture reading. Amen. We bless the Lord tonight for all that he's doing, and most of all for what God is going to do. You know, what the devil gets us to do so many times is focus on all the problems, and we miss the blessings. We fail to see God moving all around us, and in our lives and in our family life. But the devil gets us to focus on the problem instead of the problem solved. Tonight, God is moving. God is blessing. Where are you at? Don't focus on the problem. You miss your miracle. The miracle is all around you, but the devil gets us focusing on the problem and not the miracle. Amen. Tonight, let us keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord. Let us say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Our scripture reading is going to come from Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. We thank God for my wife being here. She's still present. Amen. Burning the candles on both ends. So when you burn the candle on both ends, the candle eventually burns up. Amen. But we bless the Lord. We thank God for her and what God has given her the strength and the ability to do. Amen. Every time her doctor reads one of her MRIs, they are shocked that she's able to do what she's able to do. But how many know when you got God on your side? Amen. God is not limited. God is not bound. There is no limit to what God can do. Amen. So we're going to read verses 5 to 8 of Joshua chapter 1. Do we all have it? Can we say amen? Verse 5 reads, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? God said, I will not fail thee, and neither will I forsake thee. Amen. He said, but you, now, I won't fail or forsake you, but there's something you have to do also. He says, be strong and of be what? Strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever. And do you think the devil knows that? He said, don't turn. You got to go straight. You got to stay focused, right? So what the devil does, he gets us turning to the right and gets us turning to the left. And then when we turn, we miss the blessing. So he said, no, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't allow anything to distract you spiritually. Stay focused. Amen. He goes on in verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do and thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word in the church, said,
word of glory.
And thus, amen, be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This is a continuation of our message on Sunday. I couldn't get to all these scriptures unless y'all tell me to take my time. But then when I recorded the service, I did take a lot of time. Amen. But nevertheless, this is a continuation. Are you losing your spiritual focus? The spiritual focus is not looking around at circumstances and conditions. We all have some winds of adversity to the Lord. Amen. So old song we used to sing down south and say, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin's breakers a dash, trying to conquer my soul. But God promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Anybody have that confidence? God has made us a promise that he never leave us, never to leave. Yes, the thunder is rolling and the lightning is flashing and all around us is nothing but trouble. But God is still with us. Can we say praise the Lord? Well, this is Joshua. He takes over after the mighty man Moses. And Moses was special. I was Moses. Moses was so special when Moses died, the Bible says God took him and buried him, and to this day, nobody knows where he's buried. That's special. Right? That's a special place. Because they didn't want the people, God didn't want the people worshiping Moses. So to this day, nobody knows where he's buried. And that's why the scripture says that Michael, the archangel, when it came to disputing about the body of Moses, he said he didn't even make a railing accusation. He just said, say the Lord rebuke thee. Amen. There's something about being in a place of God where you don't have to say a word. Because I got my angels fighting my back. Anybody want the angels to fight? Amen. The Son said, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles and victory, anybody wants a victory? If you want victory, then they're victory. Right? Be quiet. Be still and let the Lord. Well, Moses had died, and Joshua is taking over. And God tells him in verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But if, let's just go to verse 7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest, this observe me, give strict attention to. Keep your focus on it. He said, be diligent in this. Don't let nothing sidetrack you. So this observe me, keep your focus. He said, yes, you're going to have a whole lot of stuff coming against you. But I need you to understand, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But you got to keep your focus. So he said that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Because if you don't keep your focus, there are parts of the law that you're going to leave out. Because you're not giving heed to what the law says. So in order for you to fulfill God's word and do all, you got to keep your focus. Look at somebody and say, you got to keep your focus. Come on, look at somebody and say, you got to keep your focus so that you can do all. Amen. You know, many times we do parts. We pick and choose. But he said, you got to stay focused if you want to do all. Amen. Then verse 8 says, this book of the law. So what was he focusing on? The word of God. The devil knows that if he can get our minds distracted, if he can get our focus off of the word of God, then he'll have the advantage. But the scripture said, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get the advantage over us. So what the devil tries to do, he said, wait a minute, you're too focused. You're praying too much. You're reading your Bible too much. You're fasting too much. He said, you know what? I'm going to hit you with something that's going to blow you out the water. And he said, like the Lord told Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might
Right? Some of us feel like we're being sifted. Hallelujah, trouble on every side. Every time we look around, there's more trouble. He said that he might sift you as wheat. He said, well, I prayed for you. Aren't you so glad that that prayer did not only include Peter, but it included us also? He said, I pray that your faith fail not. In other words, keep your focus. Even in your sifting period. Even when you're going through. Anybody feel like you're going through? I'm serious. You know, be real. Anybody that's going through, keep your focus. He said, because I pray that your faith will not fail. And if God prayed for me, that's all I need. I'm glad my mother prayed for me. I'm glad others prayed for me, but I'm glad most of all that God prayed for me. Because he said, when I pray, God hears my prayer. So he's telling Moses, he said, Joshua, he said, Joshua, you got to stay focused. Yes, it's going to, a whole lot of stuff is going to happen all around you. Amen. Every day is something new happening. But don't take your eyes off of the prize. Amen. Keep your eyes on. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it
day and
night. And in the previous verse, he said, listen, get in the word. How many want to be in the center of God's will? You know what? What many are doing in church, they like to get as far out, almost to the edge of God's will, so that if you make one step, you'll be out of his will. I want to stay in the
center.
Right in the center of God's will. But how do you stay in the center of God's will? Don't turn to the right. And don't turn right. Because if I want to walk straight, I got to walk what?
Straight.
Right? Because if I'm walking straight, but I turn,
you're not going straight.
Right? I go off. Come on, y'all can stay right here. Let's play. Drive your car and turn. You drive it down the road. Straight is the way, and narrow is the way. Right? So you got to stay straight. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. He said, I'm going to help you, but I need your focus to be in the Word of God. In His Word, you got to meditate. I get up in the morning, I think about God, then when I get time later, he said, no, all day long. Keep your mind on the Word of God. Amen. That thou mayest once again stay focused. This word observing, you got to give strict attention to details. Amen. You can't just do it part of the way. You got to go
all the way.
So he said to observing, you got to give attention to details. What God says in His Word, stop skimming it. Everybody do speed reading. I do speed reading. I try to do it. Every once in a while I practice it. When you do speed reading, you don't read every word. Everybody do speed reading? Alright, I got this joke. Never mind. When you do speed reading, you don't read every word. Right? You pick out the main words. Right? So in a whole sentence, you got three words to read, and then you go to the next. That's speed reading. Don't speed read God's word. Because you miss some details.
Yes.
You have to give attention to
details.
Amen. He said, now, if you give your strict attention to details, then God is going to make thy way. Did he say you might prosper? God's going to what?
Make
your way
prosperous.
People are trying to block you. Don't worry about the people. Stay focused.
Amen.
Amen. People are saying this about me and saying that about me. Don't worry about what people say.
Amen.
God has your back.
Amen.
Because the devil is using people to sidetrack you. The devil is using people to make you get off track. Stay focused. But what am I focused on? I woke up this morning with my mind.
Stay on
Jesus. I'm walking in. I'm talking with my mind.
Stay on Jesus.
Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. And he will make a way where there is.
No way.
Now, let's go to Psalms 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 3. So he said, now you got to meditate on God's word what?
Day and
night. Right? Put this in there. You know, a lot of times we like to listen to other people. When you listen to other people, you don't get God's word. That's why Paul tells Timothy, he said, you got to study. Because when you study, that's personal application. Right? When other people speak, that's general application. But I don't want a general application when it comes to word and God's word. I want a personal application. So I can hide his word in my heart that I might not
sin against.
So I'm glad you read it for you, but I have to read it for myself. Amen. Psalms 1 and verse 1. We all know this, but let's just read it for those that don't know it. Amen. Because many times when we quote scriptures, some of y'all don't finish y'all scriptures, and everybody don't know those scriptures. So you got to say it all the way through so everybody will know the scriptures.
Amen.
Alright? All right, verse 1 reads, that's family critique. Critiquing is different from criticizing. Critiquing means you want to get rid of those bad habits and improve your good habits.
Amen.
So that's family critiquing. Lord, I'll be glad my family critique get over. Verse 1 reads, blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly. I almost did it, but I didn't. Right? You can't allow unsaved people to counsel you spiritually. Blessed is the man that walketh what? Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of. You got to separate, because he that walketh with wise men will be wise. Right? Nor sitteth in the seat of the. Listen, if anybody mocks God, if anybody making fun of your salvation, separate. You can't get blessed by compromise. Amen. So he said you have to what? You have to separate from that. Verse 2 reads, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he
meditate.
Where is your delight? Whatever you delight in, that is where your focus is. Right? So when you delight in God's word, you meditate in it day and night. Now, you can't, it's all right if you're married, it's all right for you to meditate on him for a little while and her for a little while, but you should be doing it day and night. Right? You this little problem, because when I give you the little problem, you ain't gonna think about God. Day and night, you're gonna be focused on
the problem.
And the more you focus on the problem, the worse the situation is gonna get. Right? Why? Because your focus is off track. So you're focusing on, well, what's gonna happen with the house? What's gonna happen with the car? Listen, I just rather pray to God because he already knows the end from the beginning. God already knows the outcome. God knows the outcome before I even pray and ask about it. So I'm not going to stay on the word all night long. The Bible says God wants his living blood to have rest. It's in vain for you to stay up late and eat the bread of affliction when God intends for his beloved to have rest. So why are you worrying about what God has to do? Just let him have his way. So you have to meditate on his word day and night. Right? Just think about it now. I'm not talking to y'all. This is for the internet. Right? This ain't for y'all. Right? Think of all the people that's worrying about the same thing for the last year. Day and night. You go to bed with, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Right? And the miracle, you miss it. Because you've been doing it for a year and God sustains you. But you missed the miracle because you got distracted. You're focusing on the wrong thing. So get your focus back on God. And verse 3 reads that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And wait a minute. You mean I keep God first, and I meditate day and night, what so? Whatever I do is going to prosper. fellowship with God and His Word, and have some prosperity, then the worry myself to death and not have prosperity. So the situation cannot change because you took it in your hand and said, let God have it. He said, if you do this, hey, you know what God told them? I know I didn't finish that this way. You know what God told them? I know you're going to correct me later, but I got a switch when the switch happens. I was going with the switch key. So I gotta go with the switch.
Switch up.
Right? You gotta go with the switch sometime. You know, that was all right. Yeah, I said, I'm going to go over here. So I want to go to the straight car. You gotta keep your focus on God. Because the devil is astute at getting us to focus on everything but God. Then when the bomb falls out, we say, what happened? He said, whatsoever. Is there any limitations in whatsoever? God said, if you keep your focus. Now, I'm not going to go here, but read this Psalm 78. It talks about Israel. They would say, focus on God, then they would murmur and complain. Then they would question God. Then they got to the point God said they limited God and said, can't God? Right? He said, if you keep your focus, even though a man said, no, God will say,
yes.
He said, because when I'm God, I'm in charge. If you keep your focus, even though every door has been closed, God said, I'll make a way where there
is no way.
Whatsoever you do will
prosper.
If you keep your focus, don't worry about what everybody else is doing wrong with it. Keep your focus. When you were young, you did what you wanted to do. He said, but when you get older, somebody else is going to lead you, right? Signifying the type of death that you're going to die. And instead of Peter worrying about Peter, he looked over at John and said, what about him? Y'all know about that? said, it's better to dwell in a corner of the household than in a house of a brawling war, in a wide house of a brawling war. You can flip that too. If all you do is bang, bang, bang with your man or woman, you say, you know what, I just go up and live in the corner of the house. That's all of the wise man, wasn't it? Just worry about. Alright, so the next time somebody bugging you to death, go out and get the 16-foot ladder. Set it up, crawl up to the top of the house, and then push the ladder there. All your neighbors come out and say, what you doing up there? I say, there's some stuff in my house I need right here. Alright, go. You gotta stop nagging. Because you nagging, you're driving them up in the roof. Amen. Proverbs 4:25 reads, let thine eyes look. Don't get distracted. Look. Keep your focus. Let your eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids straight before thee. What are you doing? I'm trying to stay focused. Amen. He said, ponder the path of our feet. And let all thy ways be. And well, how can I do this?
Turn out to the right.
Turn out to the right.
Lord
to the left. Move thy foot. You got to stay focused. You got to keep your eyelids straight. Amen. Because once you start looking around, you will lose your focus. You know, the only thing God ever tells us to do for one another is what? Pray. It didn't say talk about it.
Right.
It didn't say criticize it. It didn't say run them down. It said, but pray ye
one
for another.
Amen.
If we start developing biblical, godly principles, we won't have so many
problems.
There's a whole lot of stuff I see wrong, but I don't go telling everybody about it. Amen. But they go down south and we just didn't do that. No, y'all look differently up here. Everybody see everything, they gotta go tell 20 people. I'm glad y'all ain't from the north, y'all from the south. We ain't talking about y'all. But somebody does something before they even finish, it's all the way across in Russia, China, and California called Facebook. Keep it to yourself. We're not supposed to broadcast our brothers and sisters' faults and failures. We're supposed to pray
one for another.
Whatever happened to the Word of God in the Bible? Why do we want to expose, exploit, and put them down when we ought to be lifting each other up?
Amen.
Right? We need to change. Well, how do you do it? You can't turn to the right or to the left. Because we stay in the Word of God, then we will not do that. Amen. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Don't lose your focus. If you see a brother overtaken in the fault, the Bible doesn't say run him down. It says, ye which are spiritual. The brother is overtaken, he has a problem. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So you know, we see somebody mess up and say, well, you do better than that. That ain't what the Bible says. Right? The spirit of say, you know, brother, sister, hopefully it's brother, sister, so it's good to be even spoken of. Just in the Bible. I guess he put it there just for the sake of throwing it in there. And give no place to the devil. That's in there for the sake. But anyway, y'all got that?
Amen.
I do that too fast, isn't it?
No.
You see somebody's down. Don't go saying, well, you ought to know better. You've been saved too long. Say, listen, I was there one time myself. You know, all of us haven't been so spiritual and so strong. I know, well, I haven't always been so spiritual and so strong. I made mistakes. So when I help somebody else, as I'm helping them, I remember myself. But it crushed me when I first got saved.
I don't know if I got saved. First got saved in Georgia and New York, so I said, don't try to be picking out why I got saved there.
All right. Well, it crushed me when I made a mistake and I heard about it through the grapevine.
Is it church vine? Right? Church vine. The grapevine in the world. The church vine is in the church.
It crushed me. I was like, wow, why did they do that? Why did they come and tell me to try to, so I can help myself? So when I first got saved, I was like, man, I might as well just be out in the world, but my friends in the world can do this. Right? The church, we're supposed to be each other's support network. The devil is trying to expose us because he's an accuser. So every time you do accuser, guess who's your father? No charge. All right, well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, right? Who's the accuser that's always pointing a finger? You did this, you did that. In the spirit of meekness, we are to help restore such a one. He said, but even in trying to help somebody else, consider yourself. Amen. We're talking about being church, being God. We're talking about staying straight in the middle, not turning to the right, nor to the left. How can you follow God when you're going everywhere but with God? Amen. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. What are we seeking? How have we been saved? Everybody say it. Feel the Holy Ghost? That means that you're risen with Christ. So what are you seeking? Looking all around everything in the world, our focus should be above. To seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your, that means keep your mind on things
above.
I said, well, I know, it can't be all heaven and earth, you no good. I know that's all that, right? Don't use it as an excuse to mess up. Right? Because a lot of people think, well, you just heaven and earth. No, I want my mind to be on God. Because if I keep my mind on God, God gives me the sure sense word that he will keep me in perfect peace. You don't have no peace in the home? Don't have no team peace in your life? Where's your mind at? Where's your focus? What are you concentrating on, right? Amen? Said, not all things on the earth. Now let's go to Matthew 6 and verse 19 and 21. I'm going to go through this quickly because I get into the main thing, which is Peter. I only have a few minutes left. All right. So Matthew 6, 19 to 21. So with them, we're supposed to stay in God's word. Our focus, our mind, our attention has to be on God. Yes, we have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. God did not come and call us out of the world, but he came to keep us from the evil that's in the world. So we don't have to associate with evil. Amen. We have to keep our minds staying on God. We don't want to focus on the world. John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now this is what the Word of God said. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. If your affection, if your attraction, if your focus is on the things of the world, you miss it. Right? Because your love of the Father is not in you. Because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They're not of God, but this is of the world. So we have to keep our focus on God. Matthew 6:19 reads, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves. How is there a treasure in heaven? Right? I know the treasures in heaven. He said, don't lay your treasure up on the earth, but lay your treasure up in heaven, right? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Well, Lord, how can I lay my treasure up in heaven? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? So whatever is dominating, whatever means the most, what is most valuable to you, that's where your heart is. If it's on a job or the God, that's where your heart is. Right? If it's on a house more than God, that's where you are. If it's on a car more than God, that's where. If it's on an individual more than God, that's where you are. He said, you know what the problem with that? Moth and rust can corrupt that. But when you put it on God, you can't touch it. So we need to reorient our minds, reorient our thinking. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Man, good thing you got something because what man? Wait, somebody. I told you. I got 7 pages of notes. I was after the first page. Well, listen. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. We're going to go through this. We'll go through this quickly. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained high precious faith, amen, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God. The knowledge of God and keeping your mind on His word will give you grace and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. According as His
divine power
has given unto us some things. A few things.
All things.
The things that we like. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and we can stop right there. If you got the Holy Ghost and you got God, you have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't that something? If you got the Holy Ghost and it's on the inside, and this is where we live below our spiritual privilege. We're not talking about, I'm not talking about get all the wealth and all that other stuff, but where your treasure is, where your heart's going to be awesome. If your treasure is in money and stuff down here, we're talking about a real treasure. Amen. We're talking about a treasure where nobody can touch it. And my treasure is in
heaven.
Can't nobody find out in heaven and touch that. My treasure is in heaven. So when my treasure is in heaven, my focus is on divine things. My focus is on God. Then He gives me all things. Somebody said, you don't ever have peace because you have the wrong focus. You don't ever smile and have joy because your treasure is in the wrong place. And every time you put your treasure in the wrong place, there will be, you can be assured of this, there will be an individual that will break you. There will be someone that will let you down. And when they let you down, your heart is all messed up. Because what? The treasure is in the wrong place. Amen. Let's keep going on this. It says, let me finish. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the what?
Knowledge
of Him that calls to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and
precious promise.
Hallelujah. When we in God like we ought to be, He said we have exceeding great and
precious
promise. Well, how did you get it? I just stayed with God. When everything was going wrong, I did not get moved. I stayed. Yes, a whole lot of stuff happened wrong. I was broken on the inside, but I stayed with God. I was crying on the inside and smiling on the outside, but I would not let that break me away from God. I was disappointed and let down, hallelujah, but I heard the Lord say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I stayed with God. And when I stayed with God, He gave me some exceeding great and precious promises. Y'all want some promises? You got to stay with God. He said, that by these you might be partakers of the
divine
nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. And if you read in your time, write this down, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises in God, not outside of God, all the promises
in God.
The reason a lot of us are missing our promises is because we keep going out of God. Well, now let's go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. We need to read this. Maybe y'all might not read this scripture. So we go to 2 Corinthians 120. We're talking about why we miss the promises. For all the promises of God,
in him.
You got to stay
in him.
Somebody said, I don't ever have the peace that I see others have. I don't get the blessings that others have because we don't stay
in him.
In him. The minute something goes wrong, we get out of here. And then when we get out of here, we say, my life is getting worse and worse. It's time to get back. Get back in him. Amen. In him are yea, and in him are.
Amen.
What is it?
In him.
Don't get out of here.
Amen.
All the promises in him are yea, and in him are amen. Amen. That means that's true. So we got to stay in God if you want the promises. And then he said, you know what? Every time God blesses you, he gets glory. Well, what's the problem? When things get wrong, I'm not going to church. I'm not reading the Bible. I got called on you, so when I say call, I ain't answer the call. Get back in him. Because all of the promises have to be
in him.
In him. The what? The glory of God. Amen. Now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Alright? And let's get down to verse 5. Now he's talking about how we can get God's promises, his blessings. Amen. How we can get God to move. Alright? Verse 5 reads, and besides this, giving this word diligence means give your best effort. Give an earnest effort. Be honest. Right? Give all diligence. Add to. In church, we want God's promises. We got to do what? Add to your faith, virtue. Well, we know in order for you to get saved, you have to have faith. So God said that after you get saved, you can't stay there. You have to add to it. The problem in church is most of us are just surviving. When God expects the church to thrive. Well, when you thrive, you're adding to it. Right? So you're supposed to add to your faith. Virtue is spiritual or moral excellence. Amen. It's the spirit or the presence that God is with you. You ever look at somebody and say, wow, that's a child of God. I can tell by the way they carry themselves. That's called virtue. That's called moral excellence. So when you got saved, that was a good start. Now, what is your moral excellence? Amen. When people see you, do they see Christ? Or do they see you? If I got saved, now I got to add to it. I can't stay the same way I was before. Every day I have to increase. Because the path of the just is as a shining light that's shining more and more unto the perfect day. Right? Proverbs 4:18. Y'all read that to us. We got all these proverbs. We just pack them in. Right? Y'all pack them in? Right? So you got to keep adding to. So add to your faith, virtue into virtue, knowledge. That's knowledge means I'm seeking God in his will. Right? The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right? So you get saved. You learn to live morally. Then you get some knowledge about what God does and does not expect from you. Now, a lot of times we go to people and ask, but what do you think? Why don't you ask God? Because God will lie. And God will tell you the truth. The Bible says his ears are open to the prayers. So if you're in good standing with God, just ask him. And he'll direct you. So you got to add to that knowledge into knowledge. Self-control. Temperance. Another proverb. You know, 10 proverbs. The Bible says that he that has no rule over his own spirit, self-control, is like a city broken down and without walls. If you don't have no self-control, if you don't control yourself, so you get saved, you have moral excellence, you get knowledge, and you got to also have self. Now, these are not talking about this in church. On your job, in the street, wherever you go, you should still have self-control. Because being saved, we're doing what? Adding to.
Amen.
We're
not staying the same, we are increasing. Right? So after you add faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance, then we got to have some
patience.
The Bible said that patience has
perfect work.
Perfect work. That you may be perfect in entire wanting nothing. What are you doing? I'm just being patient. Say, wow, how long are you gonna wait? I'm gonna wait all the days of my appointed time. I'm gonna wait till my change comes. And patience means a person that's not distracted when things go wrong. When things are messed up, I'm gonna stay the course. So this word for patience means they're not detoured when things go wrong. When they don't like it, they will not get detoured. That is patience. Amen. And then to patience, we're going to add
godliness.
I want to act like God even through the storm. What do you do in the storm? Right? What do you act like in the storm? Godliness. I got to act like God in the storm. And to godliness, I'm going to treat a saint of God with the respect of a child of God. I read the Bishop G.E. Haywood wrote that whatever you do to a child of God, you do to God. Because his spirit is in him. So when you run them down, if you encourage them, because everything you do to a child of God that has his spirit, you're doing it to God. So I got to have some brotherly kindness and sisterly kindness too.
Amen.
So if I don't like what they did, and I ain't kidding on nobody, I'm just telling you the truth. If I don't like, I can't act ugly because that ain't brotherly or sisterly kindness. Right? I don't care that he did it in a sequence. Faith, patience, self-control, right? All the way up. Godliness. Now it's a brotherly kind. You gotta act like a child of God. You know what it says? No matter how ugly they act, respect them that they belong to God. Right? Everything people do, we belong to God. That's brotherly kindness. Then the brotherly kindness had
charity.
That is unconditional love. You disappointed me, you've hurt me, you let me down. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he... It's not based on the condition of where we are or what we're doing. Amen. Because he looked beyond all of our faults and he saw our needs. We need to get back into the Word of God and we need to start acting like God. Focus on God when you act like everything but God. Right? So he said that it's so important that we know what we're adding to. We're not staying the same. I got saved and whatever you got saved, have you added to or are you still the same? Meanness and ugliness should not exist in a child of God. Meanness and ugliness should not exist in a child of God because we're supposed to have the fruit of the
Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit has nothing ugly in it. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, the Bible says, brotherly kindness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. So you're saying you're supposed to reflect that Spirit. Well, how can you respect it? It's in you. So we should show it. Should be fast and tell people off.
All
right. Right? And you know, I used to get messed up. I used to get see people tell people off. Like, oh, God. You know, if you tell someone off and they're crying, don't you have some compassion? Even Jesus, the Bible said, had compassion. Well, we're supposed to be like a child of God. We don't have an ounce of compassion. You got just what you deserve. Wrong. God didn't tell us that. Have any of y'all ever messed up by chance? Most of us are pretty perfect. But every once in a while, we might go off course. You ever mess up? When you mess up, did God just stand there and just blast you? you and tell you all you did wrong?
Jesus.
And did he have
compassion?
The church, if you're not careful, when you look at the church, you say, wow, the people in the world are kinder than people in church. Because people in church are mean-spirited. How can church people be mean-spirited when we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit? Right? And then I'm all off focus, and I just don't know why people don't ever want to be around me. Check your food out.
Amen.
Check your food out. What do you like? Now, if there are 9 components of that food, but it's still one fruit.
Amen.
Check your food out. What do you think? How do you act? How do you respond to people? I spoke to Brother John Ross, brother today. You know, they're working on trying to figure out what happened to him. And Brother John Ross, my wife tells you, sometimes I'll call me 10 times in a day. And you know what he do? What I'll do every time you call? I answer this phone. I answered the phone because I knew he was in need. Now I know most people can't call a pastor like that, right? I was like, man, a couple times I said, my wife, I said, maybe I need to change my number. I'm down in Georgia, he was texting me back. Like, I'm down in charge of the council. I can't just talk to you like that. And I just call him back. You know why? Because if I was him, and if I was in that need, I would want somebody to help me too. If I was him. Right? Because he needed help.
That's right.
So I think one man was like 11 or something. Like, he was like, John, come on, baby, you know? But he needed help, right? So in the back of my mind, I said, you know what? If that were me, I would want somebody to help me.
Yes. That's right.
So when I work with people, I don't work with people like I'm high on the hog or high on the spiritual plane, you know, better than everybody else. The Bible said, condescend to men of low esteem. The church needs to learn to esteem others better than we try to. You know what we say in the heart of God's Spirit? Stop talking about people. I don't have time for that. If you were them, would you want somebody to have time?
Amen.
Honestly, would you want somebody to have time? And it's unfortunate the way he died. But I told his brothers, you know, he called me sometimes 10 times in a day. And he texted me. You know, you don't have to answer texts, right? That's why the policeman found me. He said, man, he texts you so much. We figured you must have been close to him. I said, well, I knew it. But I wasn't that close. You know why? Because if I was him, I would want somebody to help me. We need to get rid of that pious, self-righteous attitude. Like, we need to worry more to help one another. So, Paul just gave us 7 steps to the ladder. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, so on and so forth. Which one are you on? Is it wrong? It has 7. Are you still on faith? Are you climbing up? Have you got to virtue? Are you still in virtue or have you got to knowledge? Where are you on the ladder of spiritual growth? Have you gone from knowledge to temperance? Are you climbing the ladder? Then did you go from temperance to patience? Where are you on the ladder? We need to examine ourselves up the whole time. We need to examine ourselves to see exactly where we are with God. God has been too good. To be a, how many consider themselves to be a Christian? Give God a wave offering.
Yes,
glory
to God. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Now, the next time somebody does something wrong, I want you to take out your little compact or whatever you got. And you look in there and judge your reaction. Because to be Christian means to be Christ-like.
Amen.
So even when things don't go right well, you still supposed to act
Matter of fact, I was talking to this guy that Brother Chris has to stream my computer out today. Usually, when he called, I did something that wasn't right. I can tell you what I did. But anyway, today he kind of called me on the phone. I was like, you know what? Man, I'm preaching to everybody what they got to do. I talked to this guy for 20 minutes, wasting my time. Because I want to be, to be kept going. I said, sir, this conversation is finished. But they give me 20 minutes. Usually, you ain't got 1 minute. But I'm trying to be more, because the person you mistreat could be walking in the doors as a visitor.
Amen.
And when they walk in the door, they can be happy till they see
you. Amen.
Then when they see you, go back out the door. Because you didn't act
Christ-like.
Yes, you're going through suffering. Yes, you got problems. You still have to reflect Christ. Because it's in you, in the fruit. If we don't try to develop more God has and God patterns, amen, and more godly characteristics, without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what God expects of us. When you don't know what they do, God knows what they did. The Bible says God is faithful. Right? God is faithful. You know what God is faithful?
Amen.
I don't know nothing that means. I know somebody else. You get too personal. I'm just telling you the truth. I ain't going to say that sugarcoated. Because God expects more from us. We're saved. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, what Dr. Mills says, this right phone says some strange stuff. But God expects more from us than to always fly off the cuff because things don't go our way. God monitors everything. The Bible, he keeps a record of everything, including our idle words. Idle words is when you say something ungodly and ugly. God writes it down. It's okay to make a mistake once. It is even all right to slip up twice. But to be repetitive in that is wrong. We need to tell God I need to change. Anybody need to change? Every day I want more changes. Honestly, I want no more change. You know why? Because I want to see Christ in me. Amen. I don't want to just see him in you. I want to see him in me. God holds me to a higher standard than anybody else. So I have to learn to live the life. Even if someone has blessed me, ticked, whatever, we're supposed to take it. When they get to Jesus, what did he do? The Bible says he was like a led to the slaughter. He didn't say a word. We're supposed to be what? All right, we can say, you're going way too far. We need to change. We cannot justify ourselves in the sight of God because the Bible says he was tempted at all points, like as we are, but he did not succumb. He did not get into it. Have we lost our spiritual focus? Not what other people think about us, but what does God think about me? How does God see me? How does God see my reaction? Somebody said, I didn't say it, but God don't read your words, he reads your heart. If it's in there and it's ugly and it's wrong, God still sees it. It's time for us to come back to God. It's time for us to put our focus back on God. Well, how do I do it? We have to be more Christ-like. Amen. When things don't go your way, you cannot fly off the handle and say everything that comes to mind. That's not God. Because we're supposed to have temperance, which is what? Self-control. We want to be more like God than anything else. If we don't be like God, it won't be because we don't hear, it's because we don't do it. We need to develop our God nature. We need to let the love of God be shed brought in our hearts by the what?
Holy Ghost.
The Bible says, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have God's love. It is in your heart. Why are you holding on to it? Share it. Amen. Stop being so self-centered. Stop being so self-focused. It's time for us to mind heavenly things. We need to reorient our lives. We need to change. Well, how do you change? From the inside out. God sees you. God knows you. Back to the scripture I was going to say before. A lot of times you say, all this stuff keeps coming. God is faithful. And God would never allow any of us to be tempted above that which we are able. So if it happened, that means God allowed it to happen because you can go through it. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be